Hello, welcome to Astrology Alchemy. I'm Sheila Belanger, your host for this podcast. Alchemy is defined as a seemingly magical process of transformation. Spiritual alchemy is the process of pursuing the gold of your true nature by transmuting the unrefined limiting parts of yourself. In this podcast, I'll offer you inspiring insights from current astrology cycles that support your path of turning your personal lead into gold. More resources are available at the website astrologyalchemy.com. Hello, welcome to the Astrology Alchemy podcast for the week of February 22nd. I'm your host and guide, Sheila Belanger. The poem I'm going to offer you at the end of this podcast from Mark Nepo has this beautiful line: "The sweetness of things outlasting are mistakes." The sweetness of things outlasting are mistakes. With this week, astrologically, we're still very much in the process of the first Saturn square Uranus cycle that happened on February 17th. I'm going to keep bringing your attention back to this big archetypal cycle because it is the big one for 2021. Saturn is the structure maker, the one that is wanting things to be grounded and clear and productive. Uranus is the change agent, Maverick, who wants to blow up the status quo and innovate and free up and liberate things. They are in a 90-degree angle with each other in the heavens, and they set up this theme archetypally, inside and out, of the need to find a way to bring together the structure maker and the rebel, the groundedness and the innovative, crazy-assed energies. Saturn is in Aquarius, the sign, the energy of the new, the progressive, the egalitarian, the let your freak flag fly energy. How do you do that from the clipboard structure maker? We're trying to create new structures inside and in our culture that allows for more progression, more freedom, more innovation. Uranus is in the sign of Taurus, that deep, grounded, rooted, almost stubborn earth sign that is very much about security and stability and resource management. Uranus in Taurus now for a number of years wants us to liberate and totally radically change how we steward resources, what we define to be resources, what's our territory, what's not our territory. Very, very strong energy. And I want to spend some more time with this cycle because it's so huge. And partly what I'm going to do for you in this podcast is read from a blog from my colleague at Astro Butterfly. He came out on February 17th, and it's about the Saturn square Uranus. And I love what she said, so I'm going to offer some of it to you. This is a transit that will influence every single day of 2021. This is called Saturn square Uranus. They seem to be 90 degrees away from each other. Because Saturn and Uranus both move slowly and have relatively similar speeds, they will remain within orb for much longer, 2 years to be exact. That means the energy, the archetypal energy, is still present. February 17th of 2021, this square is the first of three exact squares, and it occurs at 7 degrees of Aquarius and Taurus, for those of you who want to track that. Does this mean that the world will turn upside down on February 17th? We've just passed it. Maybe it did. Not necessarily, although Uranus transits usually come with big headlines. But for most of us, it's not one single event we can blame Saturn square Uranus for. The slow-moving planetary transits are slow, and the transformation they bring takes time. It is subtle and not very obvious. You may not be aware of the things in your life and inside of you that change right now, but you can bet that there is a massive rewiring going on in the background. In February, June, and December 2021, the themes of the Saturn-Uranus square will become more clear. But keep in mind that this is an ongoing process. They're very different energies. If we look at the order of planets in our solar system, Uranus follows Saturn, moving out from the sun. So there's a continuity theme there. Once the Saturn work is done, Uranus is the one that takes over from Saturn. Uranus comes with the promise of freedom and enlightenment. But the path to freedom and enlightenment goes through Saturn. We may all be free conscious beings by design, but we are simply not aware of this until we master Saturn. And I love that she goes on to quote, as Glinda the Good Witch said, "You always had the power, my dear. You just had to learn it for yourself." Saturn is the last planet visible to the naked eye and rules over time in the material world. Uranus is the first so-called invisible planet, which means we cannot see it without a telescope. That's why Uranus is associated with things that are invisible, the sky, intuition, divine insights. Uranus gives us the promise that there's more to life than the material world as we know it. Remember, I see Uranus as the maverick change agent, wake you up. She goes on to say, and even if there are no shortcuts to Uranus, we do have a helping hand. That helping hand is Chiron. Chiron is a comet that orbits between Saturn and Uranus and is a bridge between them. Chiron, I'm now speaking, is associated with the wounded healer archetype, the shapeshifter, the shaman. And Chiron, now Astro Butterfly says, is associated with our wounds because the process of transformation from one state of being to another is never easy. It is only when we find a reconciliation between our material and divine nature that we can become whole and heal our disconnection wound. I'm going to lens back here and stop quoting for a moment. I will come back. What I invite you to recognize is in this beginning of the square, which again, even though it was exact last Wednesday, it's still very much here. Take some time to reflect. What is stirring in you around the capacity to integrate your material and divine nature? And also, what core wounds might be kicking up right now? Things that haunt you, old vulnerabilities, old ways that you feel, oh, there it is again. And don't let your strategic mind judge it or your inner critic say, what's wrong with you? Didn't you clean this up and finish it and heal this? That's not helpful and it's not going to get you anywhere. But rather, I invite you to lean in. How might my particular vulnerability and some of my sensitivity and my so-called woundedness actually be part of the medicine or gift that this new era is calling out for me? I'm learning ways, maybe in your own way, you're learning ways. How do I navigate and learn from my woundedness and in my own healing, somehow be a healing presence in the world without it being a rescue operation or trying to fix everybody? It's that beautiful image of, you know, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. The sense of the thorns and the difficulties and the pain can actually be a vehicle by which we come into a wholeness and a power. So the Saturn-Uranus cycle that's so big right now is, yes, calling us to integrate grounded structure, change things that need to be changed, and innovative, crazy-ass change agent energy. But, or freedom and structure, but it's also about calling us forward with our own innate healing presence without putting a burden or an assignment on who we're supposed to be. Now, back to Astro Butterfly. Saturn and Uranus have opposite functions. Saturn creates structures. Uranus breaks these structures so the new superior order can emerge. Saturn glues things together. No wonder it rules the knees and the joints in the human body. Uranus, on the other hand, represents the need for freedom and change. Uranus transits or cycles bring sudden and unexpected breakdowns and breakthroughs, flashes of insight and awakenings, rebellion and revolution. Uranus's energy is unpredictable and electrifying, stirring things up and creating excitement and restlessness. We have this huge basket. Now I'm talking for me. How do we hold this together? She goes on to say, the clash of these two titans, Saturn and Uranus as archetypal deities, can produce extreme tension and crisis in our society and impact our lives as individuals, either directly or indirectly. Okay, the changes the Saturn-Uranus square will bring will be long-lasting and will impact our society and us individuals in a profound way. Now, a little background so you can get a bearing on where you are in the Saturn-Uranus cycle. Saturn-Uranus cycles take about 45 years, with each major cycle transit building on the events of the last. So here's some history on this cycle. The current Saturn-Uranus cycle started in 1988. They were together in the heavens in Sagittarius. And the cycle will end in 2032 when they come together in the sign of Gemini. So the seed point was 1988. The first square of the cycle, the first time Saturn and Uranus were seemingly 90 degrees away from each other, occurred between 1999 and 2000. And then what's called the opposition, when they appeared to be opposite each other, was between 2008 and 2010. This major cycle that we're in now, 2021, 2022, this is called the final square, and it comes with the biggest developments of the entire cycle. So one of the ways you can consider, depending on what age you are, is you can look at this cycle of Saturn-Uranus currently and say, how have I been growing and developing? So if you had made, and this is what Astro Butterfly says, if you had major life events around 1988 to 89, when the current cycle started, then also pay attention to 1999-2000, what's called the first square, and 2008 to 2010, the opposition. Do you see any common themes? Usually the events of the transit build upon the events of the last. So it might be really helpful, now I'm talking myself, take some time to reflect on this. Do some journaling, do some reflection, because you can be your own soul detective. What is this current cycle in 2021 and into 2022 asking of me from my own lived experience of somehow learning to bring these two seemingly opposite archetypes together in myself? What kinds of inner and outer structures of innovation and change can you lean into? What have you learned since 1988, if you've been alive since then? And what are those key moments or times of change? What did you do? What did you learn about the tension between these two? And now there's a certain kind of harvest and a change in awareness and paradigms based on where we are in the cycles. So very, very important time. And I wanted to take some time to say more about this because it's such an important cycle and it is key for the whole year. Not to mention, the other thing that we're still energetically feeling the shift on is last Saturday on February 20th, Mercury went direct after seeming to be retrograde for 3 weeks. And Mercury went direct at 11 degrees of Aquarius. I mentioned this in last podcast, but I'll just name it. You might be feeling as you move into this week of February 22nd, it's like, okay, now it's time to go forward. Okay, I've been sort of cooking with something in the last 3 weeks. I've been reassessing my stories, Mercury, the communicator, the storyteller, the bridge between different worlds. And now I'm ready to move forward in a new way with the stories I share, the way I express, and I'm open to more innovation, Aquarius. I'm open to take some risks to be more authentic and to really challenge status quo that I don't believe in anymore. And it doesn't mean that you have to be a pissed off rebel making everybody wrong. Polarization doesn't serve anyone and anything. And certainly we've got more than enough toxic polarity in our world right now. But rather the sort of honest, human, personal, gosh, I've thought this through and I've got a different way of looking at it. And I want to change how I do things, how I think. I want to reach out and communicate with somebody or someones because I've got a different point of view. And I want to liberate myself, Aquarius, and help others to liberate through a new way of thinking and a new story to tell. So that's present there too. And then finally this week, on Saturday, February 27th, we have the full moon at 8 degrees of Virgo at 12:17 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Remember, the full moon, of course, is when the sun and moon are opposite each other. The sun as the hero, heroine, active, conscious self archetype. I'm shining the light. I'm illuminating my path, my being. And the moon, the instinctive nurturer, the deep, emotional, intuitive, non-cognitive self that is all about nurturing self and others and the world. When they're opposite at the full moon, we illuminate these two luminaries, as we call them. Of course, the moon reflects the light of the sun. And in the full moon, they're both in their fullness. So there's this intense journey of balance between yang, solar energy, and yin, lunar energy. And the sun is in Pisces, The moon is in Virgo, opposite signs. Pisces is the energy of deep intuition, sensitivity, empathy, compassion, very much shining the light on the hidden, more unconscious parts of yourself, your deep feeling self. The moon is in the grounded earth sign of Virgo. Virgo wants to serve and heal. The deep challenge of Virgo is sometimes this energy, because of its enculturated experience in the wounds of our culture, becomes perfectionistic and critical. What can happen with the full moon, with the sun in Pisces and the moon in Virgo, is shining the light of compassion on your own inner critic, or the one in you that wants to criticize other people. They're not doing it right. Things are not right. I'm going to fix it. Or the challenge of the Virgo energy and the Pisces energy, both in their sensitivity and wanting to serve, you get dreamed up to be a rescuer or a self-sacrificing one. And that doesn't serve. So you might be shining the light on how really do I serve? How do I have the courage to open my heart and be vulnerable and trust my intuition and find an emotionally grounded way that I can be present without getting overwhelmed, that I can actually offer true congruent service based on my compassion and love, and not from a place of old unconscious patterns of self-sacrifice, victimization, or I'm going to criticize you and make you do it my way. That's all kind of in the mix right now. So open your hearts at that full moon and trust yourself and really listen deeply in a non-cognitive way. What is the way that I'm called to serve now in a sacred way? That's the presence that you have there, because it's about transmuting the poisons of criticism and telling yourself you're wrong and there's something wrong with you because you're wounded, and rather saying, you know, it all belongs, even the woundedness, even the pain, even the suffering, not making justification for pain and suffering and wrongdoings, but rather having this egalitarian and compassionate equanimity to embrace all of it and recognize the wounds and the thorns can give you love and power. So I'm going to leave you with this beautiful poem from Mark Nepo called Inseparable. A small voice swept through the hole in my heart, right there in the middle of a day filled with the sweetness of things outlasting our mistakes. The voice led me to a thatch of berries I had to eat, though the berries were nested in a ring of thorns. But this was the only food that would heal, and everything I'd been through, every path I'd tried, every love I'd lost, every friendship I held onto like a handle in a fire, every certainty that had crumbled into doubt, all of it said, "This is the only food." The small voice whispered, "There is no other way but to bury your face and eat of these berries. Of course you'll scratch your cheeks. Of course you'll bleed. But this is life. The berries nested in the thorns, inseparable as love nested in loss, as peace nested in trouble, like God waiting as a berry to be eaten, all tangled in the thorns." Part of the journey of awakening to new paradigms, dear ones, is to stop judging everything, if possible. To have a moral compass, to be clear what you're drawn to do and be, but to recognize that even what we think is deep wounds, therein lies divinity, therein lies God, whatever you want to call that part. This place of Saturn and Uranus, where the material and the divine nature of us all are coming together, inseparable as love nested in loss, as peace nested in trouble. Thank you so much for your own alchemical journey and your courage. And thank you all for supporting this podcast. A big shout out to all who have donated tangibly to support me in this work. You're welcome to do that. You can go to the website, astrologyalchemy.com. There's a donation button right there. And all of your donations, I appreciate your prayers, your loving thoughts, your high fives to me, your own courage to lean in and do your alchemical transformational work. And don't forget to check out my YouTube channel, Transformation Journey Roadmap. Go there. You'll get lots of videos and support for your journey of transformation. Bless you all.
You have been listening to the Astrology Alchemy Podcast with your host, Sheila Belanger. More resources are available at the website, astrologyalchemy.com. Thank you for listening. Bless your alchemical journey to embrace the gold of your true nature.